kekasihku, sayangku, ku ingin kau tahu, hati ini kan selalu menantikan cintamu.
Today Music Corner presents a song by Han India. Han India Citaningtyas, better known as Han India, is a talented young Indonesian singer born on February 21, 2001. She just released her latest work entitled Obade Untuk Ibu. This song tells the story of a child's love, sacrifice, and gratitude towards a mother who always struggles selflessly. In its lyrics, this song describes how a mother often hides her tiredness and anxiety for the sake of her children's future, as if everything was fine. According to Hanin, Obade for Mother is best listened to when longing for mother amid busyness, especially for those who are far from their mother. The song Obade for Mother involves a number of musicians in its production process. Aris Nur Iskandar and Tito P. Sonardi act as writers and songwriters, while the music arrangement is handled directly by Tito P. Sonardi. Listeners, this is Obade for Mother by Han India. Enjoy.
Mau sama Tabuik is a religious tradition in West Sumatra. Tabuik aims to welcome the Muharram, the first month of Islamic calendar. The locals will parade the Tabuik, a colorful and towering funeral pyre made of resin and bamboo. Tabuik is also commemorates the passing of Prophet Muhammad's grandchildren Hassan and Hussein. This tradition is an acculturation between the people of Tamil and Minang.
Kita telah bersama. healthy life is hunted at hot afternoon or before breaking the fast. It is made of coconut milk, shaved ice, and liquid sugar. There are also slices of avocado, young coconut, and frozen mung bean juice called hunkwe. The taste is surely very fresh and sweet. What is the name of this food? As Goyobot from Bandung, West Java. It is said that this dessert has been there even before Indonesia's independence.
Today for Voice of Indonesia. You are still listening to Indonesia Today from Voice of Indonesia. That was a song by Drive, Katakanlah, or Say It. And so stay tuned on voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application.
Membuat diriku terbang. janganlah nyatakan janji cinta yang akan kau ucapkan itu yang terakhir. Datanglah, bawalah aku pergi bersama dengan semua gelora asmara. Aku di sini duduk manis menantimu. Aku pun ingin membuat kau tak menyesal.
Dan jaya di lautan para
those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium where the Indonesian people were Malays, none of Chinese were sealed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 1840-an.
Here around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cap catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It means that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Blitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Finisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar penis.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Finisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Finisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam apa namanya ya? Cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun
The term Finisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Finisi boat is, because the term Finisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari tolompong, there was palari tongkong. The term Finisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Finisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Finisi. So the term Finisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Finisi no longer existed.
Pertama, setelah ada Finisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Finisi. Jadi, istilah Finisi yang sekarang ini begitu dipandangkan, sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Finisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. Ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as Palari. So the use of the word Finisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Finisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Finisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Finisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Finisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Finisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Finisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today. At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then He said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still meet more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. They're saying to me, then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, thought it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked you, this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
Ya, kalau kita berlayar cuma main di layar aja.
If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari arah dulu kan, Pak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Sulawesi ship was built originally from Arah Bulukumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Dan di sini pengalaman saja. Nah, dia kuil dan seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinsinya 1 tahun lebih. Tapi kali ini kami bikin di pantai dia ke pantai Anjolosari.
With the pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half, has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, iron wood, BT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of kick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang sisa untuk pasir tulang. Deknya ini kayu jati. Dinas, papan-papannya disusun, satu-satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub, this is lowered, then the mast is made, the mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali sering, tali tian, nampak belakang, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew the shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ship experts, Wandi Kalupi. The important thing is that we know the leg, waist, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu.
There is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded about the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Takapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Finisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Arab people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Kata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Arab pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fail. And there is another point there. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Finisi.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva itu tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru kesenjian halaya kerana wah memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada halayak ramai, supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini sih doang.
Before breaking the fast, it is made of coconut milk, shaved ice, and liquid sugar. There are also slices of avocado, young coconut, and frozen mung bean juice called hunkwe. The taste is surely very fresh and sweet. What is the name of this food? Gayabot from Bandung, West Java. It is said that this dessert has been there even before Indonesia's independence.
bisa membuatku cinta padamu. Meskipun tak berulang kali, tak begitu asyik mendua. Sudah cukup saja sikapi kegilaanmu sebelum sukmaku kau cabik dan perih. Wahai dirimu pemain cinta penikmat nafsu dunia. Wahai dirimu begitu indah, maaf kau terbantas bagiku. Terdalam getaran asmara masih tersisa. Memang dalam bermain cinta kadang kau terlihat sempurna. Eloknya parasmu rabunkan mata batinku. Ku harus berbalik meski kau memohon. Wahai dirimu pemain cinta penikmat nafsu dunia. Wahai dirimu begitu indah, maaf kau terbantas bagiku. Apa yang kau dambakan dalam duniamu sungguh palsu. Terpikir kau lemu untuk dapatkan cinta yang sejati.
I could give you more information and programs, but the morning session of Indonesia Today has come to an end. But don't worry, my colleague Steve will continue the show only on voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Only on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Kambawe is a typical snack from Bhutan. The snack is not sold in public. Generally, kambawe is served during family events or festivity, for example during Idul Fitri or the celebration of Muslims. Kambawe is cooked in large portion and it will be given by a host to his or her neighbors. The host will also feed the guests who come to his or her house. This tradition symbolizes the hospitality of the host. To appreciate the kindness and hospitality of the host, the guests will voluntarily give the host some money. Making kambawe is simple. Firstly, we must clean the corn husks thoroughly. We need to separate the corn from its husk thoroughly. The husk will be used to mold the cake. Afterwards, we must prepare the main ingredients such as 50 baby corns, brown sugar, and grated coconut. Thirdly, we must grate the baby corns or blend them smoothly. After completing the batter, the next step is to mix the corn batter with brown sugar and grated coconut. Then mix the batter evenly. After that, pour the batter into the husks. Lastly, steam the kambawe.
Finally, kambawe is ready to serve. Kambawe is rich in taste. The taste can be savory and sweet. Enjoying kambawe will be more flavor with chili paste and fish soup.
Listener hears the news, a Malaysian company, Songkran Industry, expressed their commitment to invest $7 million in Batang Integrated Industrial Area, Central Java. This was marked with the signing of land booking confirmation letter on Monday. A quote to PramantaraNews.com, the Indonesian Consul General in Penang, Wan Ton Saragi, said the signing resulted from economic promotion by the Consulate General to Tongguan in April 2024. The Indonesian National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, ensured the logistics of basic needs for flood victims in South Jakarta is sufficient. The agency's Deputy for Emergency Mitigation, Lukmansyah, in a statement on Tuesday said, the agency also has mapped the flood mitigation to reduce the impact. Based on the National Disaster Mitigation Agency data, there are 1,446 people and 224 houses located in Rajawati, South Jakarta, being affected by the flood. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. So, good afternoon from Indonesia. Basically, honestly, it's still lunchtime in Jakarta, although we're still in the fasting month, but I would like to say happy lunch for people who are not fasting, and keep up the good work for everyone who is fasting today. And you're listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, which is available, listener, on voidish.id and also the application RRI Digital. On the mic, I'm Steve Wilbin here with you, and today we'll be talking about renewable energy and also several good things about Ramadan coming from across regions in Indonesia. But later we would like to pick one only because we got so many regions to cover. And also, of course, you can, while listening to this broadcast, listener, you can leave some comments, questions and anything to our application RRI Digital. Right below the video and audio player, there is the comment section. So what to give you this afternoon? So right now I have a song by Arum Tala entitled Gagal Diet, or Failed Doing the Dieting. It's about someone trying to go on a diet to get slimmer, but failed because of, well, the friends who always likes to eat. So here's Arum Tala with Gagal Diet.
Cita-citanya kurus, hobinya makan terus, setiap ngajak jalan pasti urusan makan, selalu pengen tiru, sukanya ngunyah terus, setiap berfantasi pakai nasi. Ku coba untuk melawan hasrat untuk ikutan, cari pengalihan, tak temukan jawaban. Ku lari di Senayan, lalu bertemu teman di luar dugaan, dia malah ngajak makan.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, we present a keroncong song called Semusim or One Season by Hartika Ningsih with Rizky. The song was composed by Kina Nasution, Debbie Nasution, and Eros Jarot. It's a soundtrack of the Indonesian film Badai Pasti Berlalu, which was released in